Hi, everybody. I'm going to try to do this quickly. I was asked to do this year, and I did it, I think, 7 years ago, and it was almost the same presentation. So it seems to be getting repetitive. And what we're doing is updating stuff that we've known for some time. And I agree with what Dr. Schechter said at the beginning, which is that the evidence is pretty strong, and it's really a question of what are we going to do to get on with the fixing of things in Vietnam. I have no relationships to disclose. I did do my doctoral dissertation on cancer in Vietnam veterans, so that's what 30 years ago got me involved in all of this. I'm going to say only a brief thing about Ranchand. We had a previous speaker who spoke about the Ranchand database, which is now managed by the Institute of Medicine at the National Academies of Science. There's been an ongoing debate, and in fact, there was a recent review article about what has been learned about as a result of the Agent Orange, the Ranchand studies. The first author was the late Dr. Pat Buffler, and then some other co-authors included Dr. Jack Mandel. And their assessment was that, as a group, that not much had been learned as a result of the Ranchand studies. I disagree with that, and I think that many of the articles that have been published by the researchers, including Joel Mihalik, who's one of the most consistent members of the Ranchand study team in its previous incarnation, has made some significant contributions to our understanding of what Agent Orange and dioxin actually do to people. The most recent study of theirs was looking at stratification of veterans by the Ranchand veterans by the amount of time that they actually spent in Southeast Asia, and that wound up strengthening the results of the association with diabetes and all cancer. I won't say more about that because I'll give you the references at the end of this. A new study that just came out of Vietnam veterans from New Zealand was informative. The first author is McBride, and it was just published earlier this year, and they showed increased incidence of chronic lymphocytic leukemia. This was a study that's sometimes called ecologic. They didn't have individual exposure estimates for the veterans themselves. They just knew that most of the New Zealand veterans were actually in Three Corps, and many of them were infantry veterans, so they were likely heavily exposed. And so that group as a whole, not looking at individuals one by one for their exposures, had increased incidence of chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And then they had non-statistically significant increased incidence of all cancers combined, prostate cancer, lung cancer, multiple myeloma, Hodgkin's disease, and some others. So it's actually a fairly familiar pattern now showing up in New Zealand, a small group of, I think, about 2,000 New Zealand Vietnam veterans, just published this year. So it followed those veterans through the year 2008. Here's another major source of information about not so much Agent Orange, but dioxin exposure, and that's the Seveso, Italy explosion at a chemical plant in 1976, and there has been an enormous amount of literature published and research done following this group of people. Those of you who don't follow this may not know that they actually have geographic exposure zones based on where the plume of smoke came from this plant. the most heavily exposed are called Zone A. Let's see if I can find some water here. And then the next most heavily exposed are Zone B. So in a recent update by Angela Pesatori and her colleagues, they found excess lymphatic and hematopoietic cancer in zones A and B. This is an update. This has actually been seen in earlier studies as well. But now also excess breast cancer in females in zone A, the most heavily exposed. And here the relative risk was 1.43, which means 43% excess risk in the most heavily exposed women, and then a 95% confidence interval that goes from 0.71 to 2.87. So that's not formally statistically significant, but it points in the direction of an increased risk of breast cancer, which is something that's been wondered about and worried about for quite some time. The other big study, one of the other big studies that's ongoing in Seveso, Italy, is the Women's Health Study, Seveso Women's Health Study, which is a combination of U.S. and Italian colleagues. And the most recent publication on that on this issue, at least on breast cancer, was by Warner et al., Marcella Warner and colleagues. And they found that all cancer, HR here refers to the hazard ratio, it's a way of estimating risk. The hazard ratio was 1.80 with 95% confidence limits from 1.29 to 2.52. That is a statistically significant increased incidence of all cancers combined in the Seveso women's cohort. And then breast cancer here also was statistically increased, not statistically significantly if you bow to that, but the excess was 1.44 for breast cancer in the Seveso women's cohort with confidence limits that we show here. So again, the evidence about breast cancer and dioxin is beginning to mount. And it was sort of hinted at earlier, and I think it's become stronger as these studies have progressed. Here's another source of information about dioxin and its effects on humans, and this is from Chvayevsk, Russia. Again, a kind of collaborative research effort between colleagues at Harvard School of Public Health and colleagues in two or three institutes in Russia. This was a town that was the location of a pesticide manufacturing plant that highly polluted the town, highly polluted the soil especially. And so they were able to determine boys' serum concentrations of dioxins, furans, and PCBs in relation to their diet, the breastfeeding patterns of their mothers, and their mother's employment at the chemical plant. And so one of the results of this has been a finding of significant decline in growth measures over a three-year period. This is actually looking at a peripubertal age group, or you know, 8 to 9 year olds followed for 3 years. And so they found a decline in growth measures over 3 years with increasing TEQs, toxic equivalents of dioxin. Again, it's sort of pointing toward a developmental effect of TCDD. Here's another update of a previously studied group. This is Dow Chemical workers in the Midland, Michigan division that made trichlorophenol in their plant there. This was a part of another larger study that was first released as a what was called Dioxin Workers Registry Study in 1991. And in that study, there was an excess of soft tissue sarcoma, almost all of which was from this one plant. So now they've published an update through the year 2003, and they show that all cancer in this group was not elevated, but leukemia and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma were elevated. This is Dow Chemical's employees publishing this. So they said there was no elevation, but there was a trend in leukemia and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But to my amazement, they said there was a significant increase in soft tissue sarcoma. That's actually not new. It's just that there's actually now more cases in this plant that have occurred so that they could show a statistical trend that met the magical p less than 0.05. So here's a Dow Chemical study of its own workers saying that soft tissue sarcoma now looks to be significantly associated with TCDD exposure in this plant. And there was a back and forth in the literature. This was the American Journal of Epidemiology. Kyle Steenland wrote a letter saying, well, you didn't look at latency. So then they responded, these authors responded by saying, well, we could look at latency, and when we did that, they did it two different ways. We didn't see anything different. So there was a challenge from one of the authors that did the initial dioxin workers registry studies, and this group at Dow Chemical did respond, but said it didn't change their conclusions. But the fact that they did publish a statistically significant excess of soft tissue sarcoma was important, I think. I'm giving you my impressions of this. This is not all the literature that's occurred in the last 6 years or whatever it's been since Arnold asked me to do this, but it's what I think are the representative studies that show the trends in the literature. So here's another one. This is a cohort that was in Hamburg in Germany. The first author of the previous study was Manz, M-A-N-Z, and so that was an important study because, again, it was pesticide workers who had been exposed to dioxin in the process of producing this trichlorophenol-based pesticide, and they had dioxin measurements, so they could actually look at serum levels in these workers and then see what happened to them. And in the previous publication, 20 years ago, actually, they showed an excess of all cancer and a hint at an excess of breast cancer in women who worked at this plant. So here, this is the update that was published last year. First author is Manuel, but Manns is actually a co-author on this. Increased all-cause and all-cancer mortality. This is a mortality study. And then increased respiratory, esophageal, and other cancer deaths in males, and increased breast cancer in females. And this is as a cause of death. So this is sort of following on the previous publication that was a hint of an increase in breast cancer. Here there's a statistically significant, you'd have to argue, excess of breast cancer deaths in the women who worked at this plant, followed through the year 2007. And these authors say that this was consistent with other European cohort studies. So I argue that the evidence is getting stronger all the time. It's getting reinforced and made stronger by these updates. Now I'll switch to the Agent Orange story and Vietnam's the study of Vietnam veterans and Agent Orange that are done by the National Academies of Science and published approximately every 2 years. The most recent one was published in the year 2011. So this was this was mandated by Congress. So these committees, I guess Dr. Tollerud is not here right now, but Dr. Tollerud has been chair of at least several of those committees that have looked at the literature about Agent Orange and herbicides used in Vietnam and their health effects. So the most recent one, I'll just summarize it and then give you the website at the bottom, is that there is, by this Academy review, sufficient evidence, and they define what that means, for soft tissue sarcoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and chloracne, that the scientific evidence for those is sufficient, that that's unassailable. I'll say there's a friend here in the audience who's very familiar with the chronic lymphocytic leukemia literature in other fields. I think that there's a evolving definition of chronic lymphocytic leukemia. It used to be that it was a sort of a specific type of leukemia. Now it's actually, I think it's viewed as more like a B-cell lymphoma, or it's just circulating B-cell lymphocytes. So that the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, chronic lymphocytic leukemia groups somewhat overlap with one another. Is that fair enough, David? That's relatively recent. The second category that this National Academy of Science book uses is limited or suggestive evidence of an association, and that for that they list several other cancers. Multiple myeloma is one of them. Prostate cancer is another one. And then early onset peripheral neuropathy, Parkinson's disease, spina bifida in offspring, and this is the male, as Susan mentioned, this is in male Vietnam veterans' offspring. Spina bifida is compensated as Vietnam Agent Orange related, and the evidence is limited or suggestive, at least, in that regard. And then several other diseases. Again, I think Susan showed this long list. It's on the VA website, or actually it's in the National Academy's book of the other diseases that are on this limited or suggestive evidence. It's a fairly long list. So, again, the evidence is building. Vietnam veterans are compensated for all of these in this first group, sufficient evidence, and many of them in the limited or suggestive evidence. By the VA. The next thing I wanted to say, and then I'll end, is the EPA has been looking at dioxin for 25 years at least. And so there has been an effort to create a new health assessment document that was actually started in 1991. And it finished a year ago. And that was just the first part of it finished a year ago. This is one of the most highly contentious areas, I think, in environmental science, and as some scientists who've worked on this have said, they've spent billions of dollars on research to identify what are the health effects of dioxin, TCDD especially, but also the other dioxin-like chemicals. And so finally, after lots of efforts, lots of drafts, lots of criticisms by industries that create dioxins, and a final document was released last year looking at the non-cancer health effects. This was a breakthrough, actually. I think the Dying from Dioxin book will sort of describe the early stages of this controversy, And it really came to fruition for the non-cancer health effects last year, where EPA was able to set a reference dose. And it's a very low dose. I mean, the safe, so-called safe dose of dioxin or dioxin equivalents in your daily life is very low, because it's a highly, exquisitely toxic substance. So the fact that that was done was a breakthrough. And it was largely based on reproductive effects in boys in Seveso and increased thyroid-stimulating hormone, another endocrine effect, in neonates, and also in Seveso. So that was what was used to set the reference dose that the EPA published in their IRIS, it's called Integrated Risk Information System website, about a year ago. The cancer assessment that was going to be part of the EPA dioxin reassessment is still not published, still not finished. And I guess in some ways that was even more contentious over the years. And so they're still working on it. I'm sure it'll come out someday, but meanwhile, life has moved on, history has moved on, and I think, for example, incinerator operators act as if it is going to be a carcinogen, and we might as well start either changing the way we burn things or recycling or something. So I guess here's my bottom line, is the epidemiologic literature regarding both Agent Orange and dioxin has matured over the last 30 years. There's robust evidence of a wide range of cancer and non-cancer health effects due to Agent Orange and dioxin exposure. These ongoing studies in Italy, Russia, and even in Vietnam are going to add to our understanding, deepen our understanding, maybe even mechanistic understanding of how these things work. And there will be challenges and denials. And by that I mean companies that have manufactured materials that either contain dioxins or when they're burned become dioxins will continue to challenge the literature. There's a company called ChemRisk, which just published about a year ago an assessment of the ranch hands, suggested the first author was a guy named Kerger, K-E-R-G-E-R, and the co-author was Dennis Pastenbach, whom a lot of you may have heard of over the years. And they have typically worked for the American Chemistry Council or some chemical company itself. And they said that the evidence about dioxin causing diabetes, type 2 diabetes, from the ranch hand studies is such that if you look at it closely enough, it's a reverse causation argument. It's not that the dioxin caused diabetes. It's the diabetes caused the dioxin levels in those people that they were studying to raise. And so it wasn't that, you know, the dioxin was the problem. It was that they had diabetes. That was their problem. So reverse cause, you know, some bizarre twisted logic like that still comes out in the literature. Usually these are published in toxicology journals, as that one was, and usually they're funded by industry. So I'm certain that that will continue over the next period of time. But meanwhile, the mainstream literature is stronger than ever. And I'll stop before.
Thank you very much.